views and opinions expressed on the following podcast are those of the persons appearing on the program and not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. Welcome to another edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. I'm your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, saying welcome, welcome. Did I say welcome? The answer is yes. Club ADHD, the podcast, is part of a three-prong approach when talking about Club ADHD. We've got the podcast, we have the Facebook page, and the Twitter account. And we'd like to thank the folks at CADAC, the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada, for helping us to present this to you. CADAC.ca, that's where you can go to get all sorts of information. That's the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. They're doing a lot, and they provide a lot of services. It doesn't matter, as I often say, doesn't matter where you are in this big planet of ours, which is shrinking due to, well, the internet. You can visit their site, and I'm sure you'll get something from it when it comes to ADHD information. That's CADAC.ca, CADDAC.ca. Well, how are you these days? Yes, the pandemic continues, even with the onset of spring and, well, unofficially summer, warmer weather. It's very warm where we are here, just on the outskirts of Toronto. It's in the 80s at least. I'm talking Fahrenheit here, folks. That's the way I think. And it's very nice outside. Well, nice weather-wise. As far as the virus is concerned, some people think it's over with, and that's the big concern to me. A flattened curve does not mean the virus has gone away. Tell that to other people? I don't know. How are you handling this? I have to admit, it is getting to me. It really is. I'm trying not to let it, but it is. You know, going shopping, watching out for other people, you know, who aren't as considerate. It continues to get to me. And as a result, I don't know, my brain seems to be in neutral at times. I can't get going. And I've had that problem before. Have you had that problem? Even with the podcast, I am behind on this podcast. I'll admit it. Just to get going. I don't know, maybe the pressure from all sorts of things. You know, life goes on and things happen. And despite what's going on with the pandemic, we have to deal with it. Are you handling it financially? I know here in Canada, there are situations where you can get some help fairly easy. And even with financial institutions, many of the banks, if not all of them, are offering deferment when it comes to mortgage payments. They just tack it on the other end. And you don't get penalized. You just have to pay the added interest on the other end of your mortgage. But it still can be intimidating. But then again, our lives as ADHDers can be intimidating if we let it, right? But we are experts when it comes to the situation that we are experiencing, not with viruses, but with the fact that we are restrained. We can't do what we want to do. There are things that are no-goes that we have to accept that maybe our brain is telling us, well, you should do this. While government experts are saying, no, you can't do this. And then people fight for, you know, democracy and freedom to do what we want. I'm of the opinion, hey, if it's going to impact other people, including me, I'm okay with setting some rules down. Then again, when it comes to ADHD, we often don't play by the rules we should be playing. And that's something we deal with. And the normal people in society these days, they're getting a taste of what it's like to have ADHD, to have to fight those impulses. So there's some good around that too. I know I've said that before, but I strongly believe that. Now, with all that being said, I hope you are feeling A-okay. Boy, that's an old saying, isn't it? I don't know where that came from. Maybe I've been watching too many old movies. In any case, I hope you're feeling fine. If you're not, well, look at it this way. You're listening to the podcast, so maybe we can help get you out of the funk. Not the funky funk, you know, the rotten funk. In any case, oh, before I forget, if you want to find out how to link to our various different aspects of Club ADHD, like the Facebook page, of course, here the podcast, and the Twitter account, simply go to our webpage. It's an easy address to remember. It's clubadhd.ca. C-A, clubadhd.ca. You can also link to Kadak. You can link to me by way of email. And you can also check out all of the episodes of Club ADHD, the podcast. And hey, if you've got the time, we've got the podcasts. Many people have binged on Club ADHD, so why don't you join the crowd? Very interesting podcasts. That's what we strive to provide. I'm saluting as I say that. As we continue with Club ADHD, the podcast. And now it's time for another edition of Club ADHD's TNT, otherwise known as Tips and Tricks. Well, it's a good thing I'm wearing my asbestos t-shirt with that explosion. Yes, it's me, Russ LeBlanc. Again, your one-man band, your ADHD coach, your TNT coach. Call me whatever you want. Well, almost anything. Now, here's a TNT I would like to label as Stay the Course. Case in point. Look around. Outside your window, the sun might be shining these days, and the warm temperatures are here, depending upon which hemisphere you're located. Now, I'm in North America, so I can only see what I can see. And it's summertime. It's getting to be summertime. And yes, we've all had cabin fever. Usually we do during the winter months, but if you add a pandemic to it, boy, do we ever have cabin fever. Now, there have been reports that the curve when it comes to the coronavirus is flattened somewhat. But that doesn't mean the coronavirus has disappeared. No. But people, they look outside, warmth, cabin fever, curve is flattened. I'm going outside. I'm mingling. It doesn't make sense. Because if the virus hasn't disappeared, it's just laying there in wait. And all of a sudden, it starts spreading again. Not good. Now let's go to ADHD land. Around a couple of weeks ago, I saw a fellow ADHDer make a post. And on that post, this person was saying he's feeling great these days. So good that he's going to take a vacation from his medication, his ADHD medication. To me, that didn't make sense. Just because you're feeling good doesn't mean that your ADHD has disappeared. It means that what you're doing is correct. You're on the right track. You've got the right medication. You've got the right philosophy on how to look at things. So why would you want to risk ruining that by saying, all right, I'm feeling good. I can handle this on my own. Well, if you're on medication, you've proven that you couldn't handle it on your own. I know I can't. So what makes you think that now that you're feeling good as a result of the meds or anything else, that the strategy that you're doing, that you can do it on your own without that strategy and or medication? It's kind of like this. You're driving a car and you've determined that the alignment on the car is perfect. You briefly take your hands off the steering wheel and it goes straight. Now, does that mean that the next time you see a long stretch of straight road that you can safely take your hands off of the steering wheel and just sit back and relax? Nothing will happen. Unless you have automatic drive, it's not going to work. You could hit a rock or whatever. Things are going to change real fast. And it's going to get, well, put it this way, unpleasant. Now let's get back to ADHD. So all of a sudden you say to yourself, I'm feeling good, so I'm getting off of my medication. Well, here's a news flash. You're just waiting for an accident to happen, in my humble opinion. And all the good work that you've established goes down the drain, and all of a sudden, you're starting from square one again. I don't see the rationale behind it. Feeling good, yes. It sometimes makes us want to do things that we know deep down we shouldn't do, but because we feel good, what the heck. When it comes to medication, or even strategies for that matter, it doesn't work that way. Yes, this is obvious stuff. Common sense, right? Well, sometimes common sense isn't all that common. And we have a brain that is constantly battling one side against the other. Should I do this? I know I shouldn't do this, but I want to do this, and it's a battle. Take yourself out of the battle. Just say, I'm going to continue to do what is working for me. I don't want to risk it. That's the way I look at it. You can take it for what it's worth. And by the way, I'm staying on my meds, especially these days. I need all the help I can get. And that's our edition of Tips and Tricks for today. If you'd like to have me as your personal coach, you can reach me by way of email. Just drop by the clubadhd.ca webpage and hit the link, and we'll work something out. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to take off this asbestos t-shirt. It's getting kind of itchy. And now it's time for the interview portion for this edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. Today's guest has her own consulting firm that provides training, consultations, and counseling for a variety of people, including people with ADHD, as well as organizations. And by the way, she specializes in counseling people who are plagued with clutter and hoarding. She's even written a book about the strategies called Conquer the Clutter. And although she doesn't have ADHD, ADHD impacts her life. So her advice is practical for us ADHDers. Her name is Elaine Burchill. I started off our chat by asking her if she has close family members who have ADHD.
Yes, I do. I have a number of family members who have quite severe ADHD and have really had to work hard to remind themselves of the strengths that they also have and work from that to learn to manage the ADHD well enough to have the life they want to have.
Mm-hmm. Now, without naming names, I understand one of your children has ADHD, and from a perspective, from a parent point of view, what are the challenges there?
Challenges, it was a little bit sometimes like a rodeo ride, because of course nobody comes labeled, right?
Right.
And so it's a process of discovery and elimination and what is this and why is this happening again? And this is simple. What's the problem is your internal dialogue. And then the pieces begin to fall into place. And generally we had one of our children, our son, tested, and because it was so confounding, here was this delightful, kind, sweet, generous, funny kid, and he kept bumping his head, and we kept bumping our heads along with him, so we had him tested, and this is when we discovered that he had ADHD. And then, of course, it's what do we know about ADHD? Yeah. You know, you never get the children. I think it's one of life's little jokes that you never get the kids that you come well prepared for. You're supposed to learn, you know, and grow with them. So we did as much learning from a parental point of view, and still it was it was difficult to understand. It was especially difficult to watch how he paid prices for things
right.
when he was doing his best with what he could figure out at that developmental level. That was really painful. And we just kept persisting, and he's finished, you know, I mean, with a lot of work and a lot of perseverance on his part. Full credit to him. He went on to get a master's degree and have a really good career. He got married. The relationship typically doesn't work that well, and it, in his case, didn't. But he's got two beautiful, wonderful children who are the light of our life. And so, you know, he still needs to watch those triggers, those behaviors, because even though he matures and the ADHD morphs to some degree, it's still a challenge to live with.
Right. How did his ADHD change your life? Did it influence it?
I think so. I've been a social worker for, since forever and a day, I hate to admit how long. And so I came to it with and enveloping, like to open the envelopes and drill down. And it was confounding, to tell you the truth,
really?
Russ.
Yeah.
It was confounding for me and my husband. My husband was a teacher, and you know, our son was always being sent to his class, you know, because the teacher was fed up with them, which we learned to intervene and draw healthier boundaries to protect him against something that never happens to any other kid. And it wasn't going to happen to him. So I became the contact person at school because my husband was on staff. And so we put some protective boundaries and limits for school, and we just learned to be more proactive and less reactive to things that frankly had our head spinning sometimes.
Yeah, I bet.
As it was, what is going on here? So, you know, it's about perseverance, and it's about seeing that person as a whole. Whether the pain, though, of it was to see the prices he paid.
Sure.
Personally and emotionally. And because you can't stop people reacting to things that your child with ADHD is doing in an entirely different linear process. They're legitimate concerns, but there isn't that, and certainly there wasn't at that point in the school system, a complete understanding. You know, there were no EAs, for instance,
sure,
educational assistants to be, and that was something in the future. Luckily, he had other qualities that could compensate. So, and he had a wonderful nature. He's a kind guy. But you know, he always ended up being the class clown and getting into trouble. And if anybody could do it, it was going to be him who did it.
Sure.
But, you know, you just have to kind of hold on and ride the ride along with the child, trying to guide them in whatever way you can. And, you know, he's had struggles as an adult, but he's a perseverer and he's brave, and he has learned, or is still in the process of learning, to respect himself even when he's 100% wrong about something. Nobody gets to disrespect you. Nobody gets to treat you as though you're broken or defective or one down. Everybody is flawed, imperfect human beings. That's the way we're supposed to be.
Right.
And you have to pick up the pieces. You have to work with what you have, reminding yourself when you don't feel good about yourself of what your strengths are, and that you're worthy even when you're not performing in a way that you're proud of.
Well, Elaine, I'm going to give you something that I've been known to give before, and I'm going to give you this, a round of applause, because when it comes to parenting an ADHD kid, and I was an ADHD kid, it can go two ways. It can go, well, you know, the kid's a troublemaker, blah, 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 or you can become the child's advocate. And it sounds like that's what you became, and the fact that you took the time to understand what was going on. And yes, there are many parents that fit that bill, but there are other parents who don't. And that's why I give you that round of applause, because you are helping your son be the best he can be. He can't help being what he is. No one can.
That's right. Well, we all get something in life.
Sure.
There's nobody who gets into this life and out of this life without something. And you could do a lot worse than have ADHD.
Oh, yeah.
All right?
No, it's not leprosy. We're just different.
Well, the thing is, you know what? It is what it is. We all carry a burden in life. I think it's just the human condition. And we have to either succumb to it, hopefully not,
yeah,
or we have to find the rest of the pieces and work with it and overcome.
Well, Elaine, I've said this before and I'll say it again. What we are experiencing now with the coronavirus, I feel that quote unquote normal people are experiencing what it's like to have an ADHD brain, not to be in control and have to adapt. And, you know, it's very uncomfortable, but we're masters at it. And now normal people are feeling, I don't know if it's our pain, but what we have to live.
And it's the lack of structure. They make people, it makes people crazy.
Yeah. You see it all the time. I'm getting cabin fever. I'm doing this. What do you mean I can't go get groceries every day with my family? You're living our lives.
Just the chaos, too, and the fear of what's next, right? Who knew staying at home was going to be such a burden?
Yeah. Now, Elaine, just between you and me, when your son was diagnosed, did you have any feelings about, hey, maybe I've got this too, or maybe your husband, because it does run in the family, just between you and me?
Yeah. I figured it came from my side of the family. I knew I had missed the depression that also was a factor in one line of my family, and my husband's as well. But I'd missed that. And so I looked at my own behaviors. And, you know, I tend to be a chatty person. But so I got out my Diagnostic Manual of Mental Health Disorders version 4 at that time. And I kind of went through the checklist and I thought, well, you know, there are some behaviors here. But no. And then, of course, I had such a vivid memory and experience with my brother, one of my older brothers, that I thought, yeah, no, this is where it comes from. Mm-hmm. And we want our son to fare a lot better, because that was like 20, 30 years before.
Right.
So that much less was known. There was that much less tolerance. It was, you know, very structured, very rigid child rearing practices that was part of our culture, right?
Sure, yeah.
And so you kind of put your antenna up. And when you see a behavior, you think, okay, well, we're not doing that. So what are we going to do? Which half solves the problem, right?
Yeah.
And so just trying to, you know, do research so that you're not asking a child to parent themselves by telling you what the answers, like, what are you feeling? At that point, he didn't know. Our son didn't know what he was feeling. He was feeling a thousand things all at once. So just trying to set structure, because he needed structure. He needed more support, certainly, than our daughter did. She was younger, but she came out, you know, I laugh and say she's probably one of the few babies who slapped the doctor back. She, right out of the gate, all right, she was self-regulated. She was on track. Now she's got her challenges as well. And she was a big support also to our son, because they're only 16 months apart.
Okay.
And so they grew up together. And we were very, very careful that there wasn't any comparison when we realized we had two diametrically opposed children, and that it's not that it was easy, and we made lots of mistakes, but hopefully none that, you know, we'll pass on to the next generation, and we learn from them.
Well, it sounds like you were dealing with, even though you didn't have it, an ADHD brain, because you were going against the tide.
Very much so, and not being satisfied with bad advice.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just because that's what I do with my clients as well. If there's additional help needed, any old help doesn't do. Okay, who is the best?
Right.
To tell us, who is the best to tell us this? Because sometimes you only get one shot at cleaning up a mess you've created, or that the child is in the middle of.
Sure.
And just doing a lot of praying sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it's all you have.
As a parent, yes.
Yeah, because God help me. Oh, God.
One light moment of my life where, you know, I thought, okay, the lights are on here. Okay, I can really see. I think our son was about, maybe 21, 22. And sometimes the other thing I used to do, I should tell you, is I took a particularly endearing picture of him in grade one, like his school picture.
Okay.
And I used to keep it in my wallet. Okay. And I would look at that picture whenever I had no idea what to do or say. And I would remember that somewhere inside this person who feels like, you know, a scene from Invasion of the Body Snatchers is this little kid right here. And he will come back. We just have to find him and help him find himself. And I would look at that picture and look at that picture. So when our son turned, oh, I think he was, like I said, 21, 22. And he said to me, Mom, you remember when you said that? And I said, and of course, the whole time you're talking, it's a complete act of faith, Russ, that mm-hmm. they're actually listening and getting it, right? With kids in general.
Sure.
And he said, that really had an effect on me. He said, you know, I remembered that later when I was tempted to da, da, da. And I thought, Lord, could you not have let me know that at the time? Because I felt like I was.
It doesn't work that way. Like, it just doesn't work that way.
I know.
Sometimes
it's nice to pay for being a parent.
Yeah. I mean, we'd love to have a time machine, but it ain't out there. At least I haven't checked. But yeah, it's true. Well, it's kind of cool, though. That kid is in this child. This child is, well, he's not a child. He's 18, but I'm telling him to clean up his room or whatever. Yeah, that's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, you mentioned about cleaning up, and here comes the little morphing into. You've got a book out called Conquer the Clutter. Clutter? I've got ADHD. I don't have clutter. I just have a lot of piles that people think this isn't Egypt. What's going on here?
There's help available, Russ.
Really? Really?
Really?
Tell me more.
Yeah. So, I guess some of the things I do with, first of all, is teach the person to treat themselves with respect. All right. Mm-hmm. Because when they're coming to me, they're not feeling good about themselves. All right.
Yep.
And so I say, for yourself, know your disorder and know it as you wear it and live it, and do that unapologetically. Be who you are.
Sure.
Unapologetically, which is not an excuse for not trying to build strengths and skills in areas that are going to get you into trouble. And so I start with a lot of work on rebuilding self-esteem, because if you don't have self-esteem, you're not worth the effort.
What? An ADHD person doesn't have self-esteem?
There are lots and lots of instances in life where they get validation, right? And they don't even get understanding.
Sure.
And they lose out. They lose out opportunities. So the next step I do is I try to help them develop a support system where they do two things. First of all, we add some structure, reasonable structure, and we start to look at the values and the beliefs of the people around them and the messages they've received, so that they can understand that if they come from an environment, like a home environment, a school environment, a work environment, where they are being judged against ideal standards,
right,
or perfectionistic standards, somebody else's standards, just because it happens to be your boss or your mom, your dad, how to start developing what Jane Burka and Lenora Ewan described as a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset.
Mm-hmm.
So fixed is one true way. It's black, it's white. You failed or you passed. A growth mindset is, whoops, I bumped my head on this one. What have I learned? What have I learned is needed? What have I learned not to do again? And how can I build supports in there to remind myself? So some of that structure is really functional things that most of my ADHD clients need reminders. They need externalized cues. And so whatever works for you, all right, but use it consistently. If it's not working and you've given it an honest try, that's not the tool for you. Things like timers. So, you know, fundamentally, when it's all said and done, unless you're living in a fire hazard or a health hazard, it really is the 15 minutes to half an hour a day that you do that's going to get you where you need to be,
right,
and keep you where you need to be. So how do you measure that? First of all, you don't set yourself up for failure. You don't, when you've got 15 minutes steam in the tank, energy is what I call that, steam in your own personal tank that day. You need to take your temperature. You need to gauge, how much do I have to give this? And you don't give it more than 15 minutes or half an hour if you're running on empty. So you never promise that 15 minutes of energy you might have, or however much, to a two-hour job and set yourself up for failure. You don't need to finish on disappointment. You don't need a reminder of, I've done it again, I didn't finish, it's not good enough. So something like timers or the electronic alarm on your smartphone, written reminders to yourself, all right? Whatever you're struggling with at that point, in areas of your environment that are private, so, you know, you have company and nobody's going to be reading your affirmations, right, off the kitchen cupboards. In some private area, write down the affirmations that sustain you, that are meaningful to you, and repeat them, because, Russ, we create our reality by what we tell ourselves.
Sure.
And we can disable ourselves by a lot of false messages. The other thing that I've just discovered, and I love it, is one of my clients was describing, you know, that frickin' frack moment in your head where you're going around like a squirrel on a wheel with all the different options and what should I do, and you're confounded and you're overwhelmed. Every person who ends up creating a hoarded environment is overwhelmed, all right?
Sure.
So understand that the front part of your brain, your executive functions, they're not working well for you. So slow yourself down. Take a step back. And do things like use meaningful keywords, something that just brings you to, that stops, that helps you just for the moment give yourself the liberty of going on pause. What would that word be? It can be quite unique. All right. So the other thing this client said was, you know, it's like there's a committee in my head. And so I formed this image, visualize, use all of your senses to cue you and support you. That's what they're there for. So I said to her, and she does have ADHD, I said, when you're aware that that starts, first of all, catch it early. Because it's a little like being on a roller coaster ride. There's a point when you get on the ride, but if you stay on the ride, the hills are ahead until you're finished, okay, and worn out. So I said, visualize that you're actually in a committee meeting. And each of those voices represents a faction, something that you either believe in or you've been taught is a value or the right way or whatever. And I said, and when they all start to talk at the same time, talk over each other, and what about this, and there are shoulds, I said, imagine yourself excusing yourself from the meeting. Just get up and leave. And leave them there. And I said, and reassure that part of yourself that you are listening and you will get back to them, because you're going to read the minutes. And then go somewhere else and do anything. Give yourself oxygen, because at that point, at a cell level, you're probably breathing in your upper chest and you're putting yourself into a heightened state of alarm.
Sure, yeah.
All right. You've got to do the basics first. Take care of the machine. If at a cell level you're panting and breathing in the upper part of your chest because you're anxious or you're frustrated or you're frantic or you're disorganized and feeling the side effects of that, you live and die on your breath,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Slow down and give your body that you depend on what it needs. Enough sleep, adequate nutrition, hydration, or you will be fatigued much earlier, and air. Breathe as deeply as you can. I said, and then make a list of your strengths, what you already know. about whatever the situation is, you know things that you're not accessing. Because you've got ADHD does not mean you're incompetent. It does not mean that none of your life experiences count and have taught you anything. If you're in a frantic state, what it means is you're not accessing what you already know internally. What do you already have that you know is a piece of the answer? And then ask yourself after, reflect, give yourself a moment, whatever time you need, to reflect on this situation that almost went upside down, right? What have I learned? What have I learned from this about this kind of situation? What have I learned about this about myself? All right. And hopefully one of the things you've learned is that you are a competent, capable individual who already has a lot of knowledge internally. And that if you just slow down and give yourself a chance, you already have part of the answer mm-hmm. inside. And then what next question is, what do I need to know to move forward? Not to be perfect. Not the right answer, but to move forward.
Elaine, do you ever find that when people are looking to do whatever it is they want to do, what they can't seem to do and they're trying to do, that they're doing it maybe for the wrong reason because everyone else is doing it this way? Do you ever get into that? Why do you want it this way?
That's a hard one to answer. But kind of a variation on that, Russ, is the expectations of others, like the silent people around that committee table, parents, teachers, bosses, people you respect, but who are different. They come with a different set of skills and a different set of challenges. This is not a linear thing where it's 1, 2, 3, 4, you pass. This is, what do I bring to this? What does this situation need? What do I already have? And what do I need? All right. And so it's kind of useless unless you're going to get a huge raise and you already sort of are in the last inning to be asking yourself what the expectation of somebody else is, particularly when it comes to your personal life. And the other thing I ask people too, because there are lots of people who aren't part of your cheering section, is who is the person that you respect or the people that you respect? All right. And that you know are on your side. It's not that they will agree with you necessarily, sure. But you will at least listen to their input, not their advice. Advice is cheap. Okay. Nothing cheaper than advice, but their input, their feedback. And then what positive use can you make of that? And maybe it's not in this moment going to be terribly supportive or the best. But it's a piece. It's a piece maybe of what you need to factor in, all right? That you're highly distractible. You're more than normally highly distractible, even within ADHD. One of my clients, the whole time I worked with him, whether we were doing the actual hands-on decluttering and, you know, cueing and behavior modification, as well as talk therapy, used to doodle. And right out of the gate, you know, he said, I hope this isn't distracting for you. But he said, it really helps me because that part of my brain that's going to be chattering at me, I keep busy sure. while I can actually then listen to you. And it worked. Okay. For other people, it's something different. It might be smaller chunks. It might be that rather than to give somebody a handout, I would record a message or send them an MP3 file of what we want and they could listen to it. It's one of the reasons we're trying really hard to get Conquer the Clutter in audiobook format, and we're making some progress, but it's a book that has like 27 resources in it. So they don't translate well to that format that's really ideal for ADD and ADHD. And there's 47 more resources that we couldn't include in the book because it would have been like a tome on the Johns Hopkins University Press website that are there. So, you know, even if somebody wants to look, they're all free. They're all free. And my website, hoarding.ca, I have more free resources on there than you can shake a stick at. My goal is to build capacity and not leave anybody behind just because they didn't fit the mold.
Sure. Well, you said a couple of things that I'm very impressed with. The fact that you realize that not everyone is visual, not everyone is kinesthetic, not everyone is, you know, turned on by audio. Do you find that the majority of ADHDers are more of a audio-based? And I say this because sometimes, you know, if you are audio-based, people are saying, why aren't you looking at me in the eye? Well, because I'm aiming my ear. That's the way I listen. And that's where problems start. Do you find that? Is there anyone?
I absolutely do, yes. I can't easily think of anybody that I've worked with who didn't tell me I do a lot better listening than I do reading. I can't finish a paragraph, and really I have to, it's so frustrating. I've got to go back and back and back and reread. I give up.
Even what you said about the person asking if it's okay to doodle, a lot of us do things that keep our mind busy that others who don't know about ADHD consider it a distraction. Listen, stop doodling and listen to me, or stop shaking that leg. And that's where the big mess comes in. But it's refreshing to know that, hey, you understand it. They're not being disrespectful. They're listening to you, and they have to do this in order to do so.
Well, the way I see it is it's disrespectful. It's disrespectful to expect somebody else to be a clone of you, first
exactly.
of all.
Yeah, but it doesn't work that way in life, though, does it?
No, but they're just going to keep bumping their heads.
Yeah.
Okay? On you. And so how important are these people in your life
exactly.
if they're not respectful enough to understand you have a different process than they do? And the other thing, too, is I figure that when I'm working with people, there are things you're going to have to overlook and factor in about me that might be annoying.
Exactly.
Or distracting.
Yeah.
And so it's give and take, right? It's give and take. You take people as you find them, and you do the best to understand, certainly as a social worker, what their needs are, and stop trying to be all things to all people.
But that's what we do. We want acceptance. Oh, we want this person to accept us and that person. Boy, talk about frustration.
Yeah, no, you can't, even as a therapist, you can't be all things to all people. I've got one woman who has a very functionally challenging life, and she's got rampant ADHD. Mm-hmm. And she only really discovered it while we were working together. And I said, you know, I'm going to bring my DSM-5. I don't want to wing this. Let's just go through the criteria. I'm not going to tell you what you are. I want you to tick the boxes that you live. Mm-hmm. All right. You tell me, is this something you're living with?
Well, good advice, Elaine. I'm going to give you another round of applause. I hope you had a good time. I had a great time. And we'll push that book. And I look forward to talking to you again.
I hope so. I have a podcast for individuals who hoard. It's free every Wednesday morning on Zoom. They need to email me, however.
Okay.
It's from 11 o'clock until noon, and it's absolutely free.
Son of a gun.
They need to email me for an invitation so that we don't get Zoom bombed.
If I do say so myself, I think that went pretty well. Thank you, Elaine. You've offered some great information, and I really enjoyed our conversation. I hope our listeners did too. I know they did. I just know it. And we have some great listeners here. And it's all about ADHD, adults with ADHD. Now, if you'd like to find out more information about Elaine, or maybe about her book, or how you can pick up her book, or maybe coaching, whatever, just go to her website. The address is simple. It's hoarding.ca, hoarding.ca. Another thank you going out to the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada, otherwise known as CADAC, for their support in presenting this. Every little bit helps. I want to tell you, trust me, it does help. And I urge you to go to their website. It's full of information. They continue doing the things that they do regardless of the pandemic. Things are active, and they're utilizing the internet and helping us with ADHD. Go to their website. I strongly urge that. Hey, I'm not bending your arm, but I think you won't regret it. It's cadac.ca, cadac.ca. If you'd like to binge on Club ADHD, the podcast, you can do so in various places. We're all over the internet. Yeah, the big guys, the little guys, they're all carrying this podcast, and I'm so happy. Or if you want to drop by our webpage, yeah, it's a little boring and staid and not too fancy. I keep saying I'm going to fix it one of these days. That's my favorite procrastination talk. One of these days. When does that happen? In any case, you can go to our webpage. It's an easy address to remember as well. ClubADHD.ca. ClubADHD.ca. We have all of our episodes of Club ADHD, the podcast. We also have links to the Twitter account and our Club ADHD Facebook page. And those are interesting places to go to as well, because we have some really good conversations with our fellow members. And if you are struggling, perhaps, hey, tell us about it. Maybe drop by the Facebook page and we'll just band together and figure something out. You know, we're pretty creative, right? And speaking of creative, yes, things are a little bit bizarre out there. The pandemic, it's still here. Even though the curve has flattened in many places, a flattened curve does not mean it's gone. The virus is still here and it's waiting. And if we drop our guard, it will jump again. The thing with a flattened curve, it gives time for those people who are able to do so to perhaps find a vaccine and to help eliminate this threat. And as I said before, I have the sneaky suspicion someone somewhere with ADHD will be in part responsible for that solution, because we are creative. And let's face it, many ADHDers in history have created the new normal. Just people don't realize it, right? They just stereotype us. We know the drill. Don't forget, keep listening to Club ADHD, the podcast. Check all of the aspects of Club ADHD. It's for us, adults with ADHD. So spread the word. All right, that's just about it for this episode of Club ADHD, the podcast. And as I end each and every episode, a certain way I'm going to end it, a certain way. And that certain way is, this is your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, strongly suggesting to say it loud wherever you can, whenever you can, say it loud, say it proud, ADHD is real. Bye for now. And please stay safe.